of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
L.L. Disco Tape. So many flashy lights you'll be
to all who've come to the podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. Simply search for Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Ooh, you ready to enter the world of tomorrow?
In tomorrow?
I don't know if that's...
1982 tomorrow?
Right.
Let's
you
do it.
Go back into the past to go into the future?
Let's Now that is what Marty McFly was talking about.
Right. Let's talk about Epcot Day.
Yes, Epcot.
Our third day on our last trip to Walt Disney World.
And we knew to only make it a short day at Epcot.
It's true. Our last day at any park is usually our day that we go for a little bit and then head out.
Yeah.
So we decided Epcot was going to be that little half day that we were going to
mm-hmm,
do.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Epcot is a real, it's a different beast. It's very different than most Disney parks, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's a mixture between like a learning seminar and a giant restaurant / bar.
Right.
Like, that's what I feel like the two major poles are.
Yeah, you're totally selling it, by the way.
Thank you.
People are in love with this
just
now.
Just come pouring in.
Right? I was pretty shocked when I went to go get my coffee first thing in the morning, and they had a whole line of, like, Bailey's and Irish cream and all kinds of things, your Kahlua, that you could mix in with your coffee at the coffee stand that I was at.
Oh.
I was pretty surprised by it.
Some parents need a little extra on that day.
Can you imagine 8 o'clock in the morning? Can I get a frozen latte with a shot of Kahlua, please?
Hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. But in all honesty, I don't know, outside of a couple things, I don't know that Epcot is really a park for kids. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
You're right. There's a couple of things. We found a couple of new things that they would like the Finding Nemo ride.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, Nemo. I'm just going to call them Nemo. Is it Finding Nemo?
I think it's Nemo and Friends. Nemo,
something like
that. Yeah.
Yeah. We just called them Nemo, which felt an awful lot like the Princess Ride. Right. Ariel, the Ariel ride. It kind of felt a lot like that.
It's similar.
Just because you're on an Omni Mover and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It feels similar. Yeah.
So we got to Epcot early in the morning. As we do, we are early morning park people. I'm not an early morning person any other day of the week.
Right.
But when we're at the parks for some reason, I'm up at the butt crack of dawn.
We're paying good money for this experience.
Right.
We're going to enjoy it.
We are going to get there and enjoy every minute. We get there and the gates aren't even open yet. So there's a big long line waiting to get in the gates. Right.
Literally backing up onto the monorail station.
Like, yeah.
Up onto that line.
But the good news is, I forgot to mention in our last podcast, we got magic bands before today.
Oh, we did.
And I love my magic bands.
Yeah, halfway through the Animal Kingdom day, we picked them up then.
Well, because I wasn't sure, I had to ask, because when we got our passes, they're like, you have to order them, they mail them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that can't be the only way to get one this first trip. And so we were in a store, and it was slow enough that I didn't mind asking and say, hey, can we get magic bands and attach them to our account without them being the ones they send? They're like, oh, sure. So of course we had to go and find expensive ones to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Steve got a Wreck-It Ralph band.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I got a Jessica Rabbit band.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so cool.
I'm not bad, I'm just drawn that way.
Yes, ma'am. and then the app was having some issues, so we went to a cast member and they connected our our passes to our magic bands.
Yeah, thank goodness they did, because you said you would have been pretty upset.
Oh, I would have been furious if I would have spent that much money on a magic band and then wouldn't have been able to link it to my pass.
And we totally thought it was us.
Yeah, I thought I was just being stupid, but mm-hmm. it totally wasn't us. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness a cute little leggedy with an iPad was able to fix everything.
Wonderful.
Right?
Kudos customer service.
And what's fun about it is that after that, we just were going on rides, not even thinking anything of it. That's all we did was she did something on an iPad and yeah. we put them on and didn't think anything else of it. We get home, we start looking at the app, and pictures start showing up of rides that we went on.
Yeah.
Not even know, like, we'd heard that this is how it worked, but had no idea that it was, like, legitimately the way it worked.
Yeah, legitimately, you just open your app, and it's like, here's all the pictures from your day at Animal Kingdom. I was like, what?
It's incredibly freakily cool.
Yeah. So, we have our magic bands for Epcot Day, which is super fun. You scan them when you walk in with your fingerprint. We finally get in. Everyone rushes forward like you do at Disney. Apparently, everyone's in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Hurry to stand up and wait. And it's
a big park, too. So when people make a run, they are running right. for it.
Even though they literally tell you not to. And you get up to underneath the big giant Epcot ball, and they stop you because they haven't even opened yet.
Ah, yes.
And so you're just sitting around waiting, you know. And then when they finally do let people in, everyone just takes off. Mm-hmm. And they're running for one of two things, apparently, from what I heard. They're either running to Test Track, which is like a running, speeding car yeah. ride, or they're running to Frozen Forever After, or Frozen Ever After, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Which is the one thing in this park that I think is for kids, and I think is completely out of place.
That's a lot of criticism for it.
I know.
It was the beginning of Epcot, because it's now IP...
Oh, you know, IP, cute. Yeah. I was like, you totally said it wrong. It's a dark ride that they put in after Frozen became so popular in the Norway Pavilion. And many people have said it's out of place in an Epcot situation. But we'll see with everything else coming in how out of place it is.
Yeah, it might now be in place.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we ran back. We didn't run. We walked very calmly back to Frozen Ever After. It had a very short line. We're like, oh, perfect.
And we know why.
Except when we got in line, they told us it's because it had a issue and they weren't open yet.
And they had no idea when it was going to get open.
They said it could be 30 minutes. It could be 2 hours. They're not sure.
Right.
Which is a long time to just guesstimate and wait.
Yeah, and you could open up the app and quickly see all the other lines in the park, like just adding time. Everywhere's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, all right, it's time to go.
So we decided to shelve Frozen for another trip. So we'll have to do opinions on Frozen another time. But then we also discovered that the World Showcase, which...
Spoiler alert, I'm going to say it's incredible.
Oh, yeah. You already got a vote.
There's no way the newest ride based on Frozen is not incredible.
I'm sure it's very enjoyable.
Like, it's, of course there is.
The World Showcase, we found out, doesn't open till 11.
How crazy is that?
World Showcase, for those that don't know, is literally a giant circle where they have pavilions for all these different countries around the world that you can go around and learn about the country. Sometimes you eat food. Sometimes there's a movie, you know, that kind of thing. So that didn't open till 11, which we had no idea.
Yeah.
A lot of those...
We'd never been to Epcot that early in the morning before, right. So we had no idea that it didn't open until 11.
A lot of the pavilions are actually run by people from the country. And yeah. they are here on special visas with Disney. So I wonder if it's something like to do with that, where like they can't put them in too early or work.
My
them
guess
too
is
late.
More about the fact that it is based off of restaurants and bars, and they don't want people drinking that early in the morning and eating food that early in the morning. And
except
so it's just
the coffee
a
place, apparently.
Yeah, except for the coffee place. But otherwise, it would just be a waste of money to like completely staff them and open them up for that many, you know, for 2 extra hours of the day when they could just avoid it.
No, that's true.
That probably
fair enough.
Guess.
So we decided to go over and do the Land Pavilion, where they have this fun boat ride, Living with the Land.
Oh, it was fun.
It's a very slow-moving boat ride that takes you basically through Disney World's like growing houses, like their greenhouses and stuff, and shows how they are finding sustainable ways to grow produce and things like that, which I think is really interesting. It could use a couple updates, but it's still pretty interesting. The only thing that sucked was that there was a child having a literal meltdown the entire time we were on that boat.
Oh my gosh, they were.
Yeah, like I thought someone was literally pinching their child over and over again with the way the baby was crying. Oh. I was like, gosh, this is
it's just a greenhouse kid.
Right.
No reason to get that
and,
upset.
You know, I don't judge. There could be kids that have issues or whatever. I don't want to be judgmental, but ooh, it was not enjoyable.
Right.
No one likes to be around a crying kid at all. It's just unpleasant.
Yeah.
And then they also have Soren there.
Oh, they did.
The Land Pavilion, which, you know, we love. We love a good Soren.
We do. Other people in the line did not.
Did they not?
No, there was other people that were fighting in the line as well.
Oh.
Like, they were...
There were some angry families in that line.
That early in the morning, and they were all from New Jersey.
I think it's for a lot of people, Sunday is the last day they're at the parks.
And Epcot's usually the last day.
So they are tired, and they are tired of it. You know? And
any fight they were having with their sister-in-law the night before continued on.
It
because
did.
I know that's what that was. Just stay at the stroller. I'll meet you at the stroller. No, do not come in here. I was like, oh... I was scared.
Yeah, there were some thoroughly unhappy people in that line for sure.
Yeah. Oh,
but it is fun that the end of Soarin', they change. In Disneyland, you fly over Disneyland at the end of Soarin'.
Yeah, I thought we
gotta go. And at the end of this one, you fly over Epcot, which I think is apropos.
Yeah.
Totally fun.
Yeah. And they say no video on the ride is allowed, but I've seen video online of that ride, actually.
Have you?
Yeah. And
I don't know how that would work.
It doesn't. It doesn't work very well at all. Yeah. And you think that Disney would sue you to take down the video immediately.
Well, I don't even think they care. I think the video itself would look crappy.
Because
it's such a big screen. How would you even get all
it
that?
It most certainly would.
Mm.
Besides, you can't smell nothing.
Yeah.
Just spritz yourself in the face with citrus juice. See how that is?
Every day.
Right?
And then, what else did we do before?
We did the aquarium. When we were doing the Nemo ride, do you remember?
What I found interesting, too, is that there's this gigantic aquarium.
Totally unexpected. We had no idea it was there.
Yeah. Like, shouldn't this be an Animal Kingdom? Like, it felt out of place.
It probably was built before Animal Kingdom was even open, and then the cost to move it over there would be pretty expensive.
That's totally true.
So that's probably how it ended up there. And, you know, it's cool that it was there.
Yeah, I didn't hate that it was there. And you get on the Nemo ride, which is fun. It's kind of it's almost like the submarines at Disneyland, where you kind of go past screens
and whatnot.
Yeah, it
does, actually. It's a mix of that. It's a mix of the submarines and
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Or the Omnimover.
Both water rides, so it works.
If you add all of that together, you end up with a Nemo ride.
But what's really fun is that you get to the end, and they're projecting the fish into a real tank with real fish.
Oh, that's so crazy.
And you're like, wait a minute, those fish look really real. Oh, they are real, you know.
And they also have a diver and a tube.
Yeah, it was almost like Augustus Gloop. Like, I was afraid he was going to get stuck. But, like, literally in the middle of the pavilion, there's this giant tube that goes all the way to the ceiling, and they take a diver, put him in there, and then fill the tube up with water to show you, like, all of the ins and outs of being a scuba diver.
Yeah.
Which,
it's pretty inspiring for kids to want to go scuba dive, I think.
Yeah. And it's very relatable. It's not, you know, overly technical or anything, which is really fun to watch.
Yeah, they pick a kid out of the audience and gives him sign language to the guy in the tube, which is pretty much thumbs up.
Yeah, the okay.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, like, the extent of the diver in a tube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting, honestly.
But the World Showcase, when it did finally get open, we get over there, right?
Uh-huh.
And we start going through it. Now, there's a couple pavilions there specifically.
And just to start out, I told Steve earlier that I wanted a hot dog. That's all I said this morning. So,
oh, yeah, that's what you said.
We decided somewhere in the pavilion we're going to get a hot dog. So,
we knew that.
Hold on to that.
But the China pavilion,
uh-huh.
Is this literally the equivalency of Chinese torture?
Ooh!
That's what
you're calling it, Chinese water torture at Disney.
It felt like that, and the Canadian pavilion are both the same. That they have their screens in the round kind of a thing. So they're like 9 individual screens.
Sure.
And then there's posts down the middle, but you're just leaning against the post, standing there in the middle of these screens, projecting all around you.
And they make it so you can turn in any direction you want to, because it is a 360 degree experience.
Okay. And it gets a lot of people in and out quickly, it probably. Does. But the fact that it's, and we even went on what I thought was a pretty busy day, but there was not many people in that.
No, and that's a great thing about Epcot, I think, is that it's a little bit easier of a day. Mm-hmm. It's not as crowd heavy, and the attractions outside of a few notable ones are generally just walk-ons.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, the China Pavilion has a movie. The Canada has a movie. The France Pavilion has a movie.
And the Canada one is hosted by Martin Short.
It is hosted by Martin Short.
I totally want them to re-record that with Celine Dion. Like, I think that would be awesome.
She does love her some Canada.
She really does. And then she could tell you to go over to the France Pavilion, like, right after that, because she speaks French.
Well, and that's the thing about these movies, though, is that they are... they suffer from the Epcot syndrome, where it's just out of date. They are not filmed in HD, from what I can tell.
They didn't even know what HD meant when they filmed that.
Right. And the information is a bit dated.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing the history of these places, but I want to see what real modern China looks like in these pavilions. You know, they're showing quote unquote modern China, and it's all these people in like 80s windbreakers, you know,
right.
You're like, that's not really how they dress. I don't think, you know?
I just can't get over those two theaters. Literally, when you're just standing there for, I think it's 12 or 15 minutes, you know, which isn't bad. Cause I guess when you're in lines for hours and hours, but you're just, there's something that
you don't
just,
like the standing aspect,
that part of it, especially where they're not as popular as they once were. Mm. Like you could, and that is exactly what I loved about the, France Pavilion that we went to.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. I love that thing. This is a must do for us every time we go. I liked it as much as Soarin', actually.
Just cause you got to sit?
Probably.
Okay.
But I've had a very, like, it's felt artsy and artistic and informative, and it felt very, you know, obviously foreign. Like a foreign art film, but it was educational. Or,
sure.
You know, and I loved the velvet curtains in the theater. Mm. And her accent when she's announcing the movie, you know.
That's the one thing I will say about Epcot, is it does attract a very international audience to Epcot. And I had a great time. I speak very minimal French from high school. And when you're taught a language in America, at least, it's very formal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very conversational. And I had a great time. We were walking behind a French speaking family, and it was fun to hear them actually converse in French in a way that was conversational, and it's a living language for them.
Yeah.
And it was fun to hear that. So I do like that about the World Showcase, is that you get to interact with people from these countries, which is super neat.
Yeah, and it's a very intricate place, too. Like, all of the pavilions are usually sponsored by the country that, that was putting them in there. So there's, and they're selling real goods. Like, a lot of them are selling real perfumes from France and whatnot. So it's absolutely... Oh, and the food is incredible because it's authentic to the country you're eating in.
Yeah.
So that's totally why we had to go eat the bratwurst over at... Germany,
yeah,
because you told me you wanted a hot dog.
I wanted a hot dog, and so we compromised and said, okay, we'll go get bratwurst.
Well, if you're gonna have a hot dog, why not have like the best of all hot dogs, the bratwurst?
And what was your opinion on the bratwurst, though? What did you think?
It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah.
Frankenfurter, not fine. Didn't even know
it's
what
like
that was.
Weird pale hot dog that needs to suntan.
No flavoring. No.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
So that was it. Like it was absolutely covered in sauerkraut, which I'm all about.
You
love
you
that.
Some sauerkraut.
So that part was fine.
See, but that's my problem, is that I felt like it was a little bit unwieldy, hard to eat. My mouth wouldn't fit all the way around it. Like, it's got a huge bun and lots of sauerkraut, you know? So you get, a good bit for your money, but it's still a task to eat for me.
Well, it was even harder to find a table because all the drunk people were standing in front of the walkways.
Well, it's Germany.
Like, it took, exactly. Like, six people drinking beer and they were offended that I was walking by.
Right. Like, yeah. You kind of have to step away from some places.
You're blocking the only tables in the entire pavilion because you want to sit here with your beer and yell at me. Like, it's weird. But then the chips though, that came with those bratwurst and frankfurters,
I felt bad.
They had a flavoring. What was it?
Paprika.
Like, yeah. And then
who
they were like
paprika on chips,
but then the chips themselves were like burnt.
I think it was just the fact that the seasoning isn't something you normally put on chips, and so when they cook them it gives off almost a bitter taste.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the paprika chips, not a big fan. But the bratwurst is great. I love a good bratwurst.
Yeah.
So I can't complain about that.
But I do have to say, do you remember we were complaining about...
We complained about a lot, apparently.
The new Paradise Pier was like, oh, Disney, we have a whole bunch of leftover paint. Let's just repaint these rides and call it something new.
Yes.
Why don't they do that with Epcot?
Poor Epcot.
There's some buildings in there with like legit three-toned paint colorings, you know, like orange, yellow,
very
green,
old school, like 80s
mall,
yeah,
motif type, yeah, thing that is like, if, well, you just painted that, yeah, a different color and put like some new graphics on the window, all of a sudden this whole pavilion would feel a lot more modern. Put one, right, modern sign up there, like, I want to flip Epcot so bad.
Probably not all of it. That.
Yeah, just like one little corner of it specifically. Just, yeah, I would love to paint it, freshen it up, you know, make it open concept. JK.
I think Epcot is in the process of getting a facelift. Obviously,
where she is of that age.
where they're building Galaxy's Edge over in Hollywood Studios, they're putting a lot of money and time into that right now.
Right.
They're also building a Guardians of the Galaxy ride in Epcot, which again just plays into that they might be putting more IPs into there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, once again, Disney World just lacks updates. I feel like Disneyland is almost constantly being scrubbed down, redone, tooled in, like, right, animatronics fixed, things plussed, and obviously it's a smaller park, so it's much, right, easier to get to everything. But if you can't handle the park, why'd you build it?
Right.
You know?
Well, Mickey's Fun Wheel has been repainted and renamed 3 times, yeah, since it was opened in 2001.
Exactly.
And then Epcot has been opened in 1893, I think. And
Epcot opened in 1893? Oh my gosh. She looks great. Never mind.
1983? Yeah, I think it's 1983. Oops. But it's the original paint from then, so you're just like, yeah, oh, I did, you know, okay.
But we did have a great time going on Journey into Imagination with Figment.
Oh my gosh, I totally did.
You loved that ride.
I had such a good time.
And I'm going to take credit for it because they gave us row number one, and I convinced Steve that that meant they were going to ask him a bunch of science questions.
Oh, I was so
petrified.
And he
had heart palpitations for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then once I said they don't ask you questions, I think you greatly enjoyed it after realizing I was kidding.
Well, that's the last thing I needed as a fourth grader that was sitting right behind us go, ha ha, you don't even know that.
So we'll have to talk about Journey into Imagination. Had a great time on that ride. Super fun. We didn't get to stick around, though, and watch the finale Illuminations.
Oh, right.
Which is their nighttime fireworks show.
And we totally have to make sure that we do see it because it's going away soon.
Yeah, they're planning on closing it down. So we'll have to make it a point to see that.
Yeah, our next trip, we're actually planning on going down for New Year's Eve. And Epcot has like the biggest New Year's Eve party of any Disney park. Ah, it's going to be phenomenal.
I'm prepping myself now because the crowds are going to be insane.
Yeah, the blogs literally say you won't get back to your hotel till 3 o'clock. It's a 3-hour time frame just to get out of the parking lots.
Yeah. So I'm trying to pre-calm myself so that the crowds don't stress me out.
That's true. That's just the end of this month.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, you know, we don't normally do a lot for New Year's, so this will be an experience for us.
Our first time out for New Year's Eve. Say, well, it's the first time it won't be 4 degrees.
That's true. We're used to snow.
We've gone out a couple times on New Year's Eve, and it's so cold, we're usually home by 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like I always say, thank a Phoenician. Until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted 2-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.